Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Ding, 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 ding. Good morning, Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy. And, of course, the breaking news. And I hate when there's breaking news because then I have to adjust to it. And
at least nobody died and we have to pretend we like him.
Well, Julian Assange has been arrested. You know, he was holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy in London for, 6 or 7 years now. And finally, Ecuador kicked him out and he was arrested. I just saw a video of it. And I'm not going to say he was dragged out.
Oh, he was dragged.
Like Dr. Dow was from the
not that bad.
From the airplane, but it does look like
he was dragged like a Democrat away from a free meal.
Yeah, he was resisting it a little bit, and maybe there'll be extradition and he'll come over to the United States. Now, of course, he I don't know. I guess we probably can't execute him, but because
come on, no,
but he's. You know, the problem is in recent years, he's become a hero to the Republicans because Sean Hannity would have him on and just eat up all the stuff that he had on Hillary Clinton. But, I mean, goodness, the guy published cables and sensitive diplomatic correspondence.
Good.
Oh, of course it is. Because,
good.
You know, Sean, and I say this with. In the most charitable way I possibly can.
Hit me.
You're off your nut. I mean, you can't do that.
Why do you want to sequester yourself from information? I am always amazed.
All information is good. Nothing should be confidential.
Correct.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Let me see all your emails.
When it comes between a government and citizen, yes.
What do you mean? A government and citizen, there is no reason. So there's no. I mean, this is so elementary.
You'll have to forgive me. I've never adopted the philosophy that people are better than me in our government. I'm sorry.
What does that mean? That means nothing. That is a senseless statement that you just
only
made.
Only somebody with a slave mentality would feel that bureaucrats are somehow better than they are to handle secret information. I'm sorry, I don't believe that.
No, look.
Don't believe it.
If you're saying to me, I'll try to look at the case that you're trying to make in a light most favorable to you, nonsensical as your opinion is, yes, there is corruption in government.
No, that's not.
Obviously, there are people in government, therefore, and people are very human and capable of sin, and obviously anything can be abused. But we need confidentiality in government. You don't think there should be diplomats then?
Here's what I'm saying to you.
Okay.
Redacted information is specifically used to create a direction of propaganda to enrage or control the citizen. So in other words, what I am saying to you.
Well, I didn't understand that. That sentence didn't parse for me, but go right ahead.
Why as a citizen would you accept redacted information?
Because there's sensitivity.
You have to redact. Who gets to see it?
Do you want we need spies. You know, for example, we need the spies who spied on on the Trump campaign and the by the Obama administration. But we'll get to that at some point.
I think the atrocity of Barack Obama controlling government, directing government, and bureaucrats with a political agenda is as pervasive in the Trump era as it was in the Nixon era. I believe that the information that was redacted to promote and stoke the Vietnam War was as detrimental to America as the information that was redacted
and, of course you
and
believe,
stoked to the Iraq War.
And, of
War.
Course, you believe that Bush lied and people died. And why don't you just vote for the Democrats?
I believe they all lied. And what I want
nobody
is the information.
Nobody ever tells the truth. Nobody ever makes a mistake. I mean, it's.
I don't believe that we can designate politicians to be the conscience of a country.
Okay.
Because
you know
they
are the scum among us.
Sit,
you do your little Liberty Hour show.
I do.
You just go ahead and do that in your little vacuum and do your podcast that's listened to by five people. And you go ahead and do that.
And
I've got a show right now that's listened to by 10 people.
And you're
okay?
promoting the ignorance is bliss slave mentality that gets us to be the sheep and the cattle driven off the cliff.
I don't trust government. I'm in favor of what Attorney General. I'm in favor of what Attorney General Barr did yesterday, which he said that there was spying, and he wants to check whether there was the justifiable predicate for the spying. But he certainly let the cat out of the bag yesterday when he said that.
You're not suggesting, though, that spying occurred.
I think there's spying did occur. Yes, I think spying did occur.
The
question is whether it was predicated. I think there was probably a failure among a group of leaders there at the upper echelon.
A failure among the group of leaders there in the upper echelon. So he's telegraphing. He's saying he's come to the conclusion that there was unjustified spying. There's justified spying and there's unjustified. And he's saying right here, he's got the goods on them. He's saying this right now.
Why are you so favorable in the rat race? You just want your rat to win.
No, that's not true.
Of course it is.
Absolutely, it's not true.
This is ridiculous that we pretend there wasn't spying by Barack Hussein Obama and his administration at the direction of the Democrat at the time president to keep an eye on the Republican. Everybody knew that Barack Obama wanted the Duchess of Chafington to win, and he would have done anything for it.
I think.
And
it,
you're phony.
I agree that that may very well be true. I don't know yet for a fact, but it seems to be tending in that direction. You're saying that everybody's corrupt all the time. I'm saying there's a lot of corruption. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Pardon my Lord Acton. But the problem is that you'd still need secrecy in government. Otherwise, you may as well not even. Are you nuts? Are you crazy?
Nobody.
You think Julian
gets
Assange
to manipulate information?
You think he's a hero?
I don't think he's a hero.
Why don't you join him in Guantanamo right now?
Nobody is above you.
Let's go to Andy. Hello, Andy.
Hey, man. How you guys doing? Besides squabbling,
that's okay. I'm gonna miss Sean. Hey. He's gonna be gone after today.
I will miss. Hey, Sean, absolutely right, man. Why? I think we should have like a citizens advisory board. Cycle people every couple of years. Let them be the liaison between these crooked politicians and the general public. Bring it all to light.
You have to recognize
Andy.
Can I just get a word in edgewise?
Go right.
You have to recognize the flaw of humanity. And in order to shed light on it, you do not give people the power to redact information. Give us information.
There should never be any redacted information.
Who's above me? This fat slot because he's a Republican?
There should
or the
never,
other fat slot because
so
he's a Democrat?
Is that we should never redact any information.
Not to know. That's
never,
the principle of America.
Absolute.
Yeah.
Never redact
I have a
anything.
Representative.
So in other words, if we've got a spy out there who we're trying to use to infiltrate a communist government and help bring them down.
I'm not a good slave.
We should out them.
Listen.
And we should say, here are our spies. Go ahead and kill them,
I'm
the KGB.
Slave.
I mean,
you would be a good slave.
You're doing a comedy act,
no,
aren't
I'm not.
You?
Absolutely
I mean,
not.
You're out of your cotton-picking mind.
Who gets to be
you're
above
crazy.
Bruce? What scares me is you're a lawyer. You're a lawyer, and you're advocating that there are gods among men in America.
No, I'm not
advocating
that there are gods among men. I know that people are corrupt. But this is an absolutely stupid discussion. I've been in a lot of stupid discussions in my life on the radio, and I'm ready to walk out of here right now. You can do the next 3.5 hours by yourself, buddy.
Here.
Please do it. And please smoke your cigar here and
I'll
asphyxiate
give you the
on it.
To get out. Go ahead.
Craig from Mount Greenwood. Hello.
Yeah, good morning, Sean and Bruce. Good to talk to you guys. Listen, this thing, Obama was putting this thing together a long time ago, all the way back to Benghazi and the IRS with Loretta Lynch and all stuff like that. He took about 24, they mentioned the other day, 24 people that came out of the liberal newspapers and everything like that, hired them and put them into all these different high-level positions with law enforcement and everything like that to be all little puppets to destroy
I don't disagree with you on that, Craig. Thank you so much. Appreciate the call.
I'll give you an amen, a high five right there.
Republican.
All right, we have to take a break right now.
Oh.
Because I've got a memo here. I'm going to redact a couple of the names.
Yeah.
Marcus Brown,
you don't get
program
to do it
director.
Either. That's all right. Give me the information. Nobody,
Jeff Reisman, general manager.
Nobody
I
gets
just
to control my information.
Their names. They just told me I have to go to commercial right now. This is
the morning show. More Chicago radio listeners are choosing. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
You know, this show is interrupting my tweeting. Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy. I was about to tweet. If you're not listening to AM 560, The Answer right now, you missed an incredibly stupid discussion between me and Sean Thompson about government secrecy. Julian Assange, by the way, was arrested in London right now. Can I just play a soundbite right here? And so we can get to this lit up the switchboard.
Go ahead.
Right here. Okay.
While we're on that subject of the Judiciary Committee, let me just say how very, very dismaying and disappointing that the chief law enforcement officer of our country is going off the rails yesterday and today. He is the Attorney General of the United States of America.
Spit it out, drunk.
Not the Attorney General of Donald Trump.
That is Nancy Pelosi. Yeah, this really shocked the Democrats and the media yesterday because it was all about the fact that Barr used the word spying, whereas a guy like Charles Lane, who's on special report panel, the Washington Post reporter, he says he should have said surveillance. What's the difference between surveillance and spying? It's spying. That's what Barr is accusing the Obama administration of having done. No question about it. Can we go to Tony?
Go to
Sean?
Whoever you want.
All right. Hi, Tony.
Hey, good morning, Bruce. And how you doing there, Sean? Listen, Sean, you know, Bruce, I take a little umbrage with the fact that you're calling the conversation stupid. I thought it was kind of enlightening. It made me think a little bit about what Sean was saying and what you were saying. However, you know, in order to really judge a man's opinion, I got to understand what cigar he smokes. So, Sean, I'll be stopping by your place sometime this week. Share cigars. Let me know when you're there.
All right.
Get to meet you in person.
All right. Do we have anything of substance, Tony? Because time is so valuable here.
You've got to agree with Bruce, or it's not substance.
Yes, I got substance. I got substance.
What is the substance?
Man.
Yes, listen, thank you.
That clip you just played.
Yes.
It's obvious that Nancy Pelosi's brain is dried up like her hoo-ha, right?
Oh, my God.
She is saying
hit
this.
Hit the delay!
The Attorney General is for the people of the United States of America, not Donald Trump. Wasn't Donald Trump an American citizen? That's all I got to say.
Actually, technically, where did I read? Thanks so much, Tony. The Attorney General is both the attorney for the president and the country. It's a little more complicated.
I have to say something, Bruce, if I could just get out of
sentence. Please do. The floor is yours.
What you show me. Mm-hmm. Is exactly the argument I had with the girl who's your friend yesterday. And it shines a light onto everything. Because basically what you're saying, if I understand it, is that you do believe there are men above you who should have information you do not have.
I don't believe they're above me.
Hold on a minute.
I don't believe they're above me.
Wait a minute. You said you'd let me finish.
Go right ahead.
And you are comfortable with having these gods among men as long as they're Republicans, right?
No.
So I have a question.
The answer is no.
I asked you and the fresh out of diapers kid in there who likes being a cradle to grave child. Sure. Why have a First Amendment if you're comfortable with people in government having the power of redaction? Why do you have a First Amendment?
Now that is another one of your statements that will take about 3.5 hours to try to parse, and we will be unable to do it. It's a non sequitur. You say, why have a First Amendment? Well, there's lots of reasons to have a First Amendment because we cherish robust and spirited debate. And it's vouchsafed by the Constitution of the United States. That doesn't mean it's not absolute. And that doesn't mean that you don't have redaction.
Hear about the big stories of the day, then talk about them right here on Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. When you've got questions, he always has an answer. It's Sean Hannity, this afternoon at 2, right before Joe Walsh at 5, on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, Sean Hannity's going to be happy today because his friend Julian Assange
Well, he's not going to be happy. His hero, Julian Assange, has been arrested. Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy. Sean, you had
I just want to finish this. Yeah. I think our outrage in politics today is that we learn about the bureaucrats that have been in control of this information that some people are very happy getting on a trickle basis at best, and sometimes not getting it all. What's outrageous about all of this, and the real fight and the real support for Donald Trump should be the idea that we've allowed bureaucrats such as David Orr. You know, I said to you on Monday.
Not David Orr.
What's his name?
David Orr is the Cook County clerk.
Oh, what's this guy's name?
Bobby Orr. Good old number four at the Boston Bruins.
The Asian guy married to that two-legged.
Right, right.
Yeah, that guy.
Married
to
Nelly.
The scarecrow.
Yes.
And I said to you on Monday, and I mean this, never take advice from a guy who marries an ugly chick, because that shows you that your decision process,
your decision process
isn't good. Now I'm going to give this guy, gets to control the information above me.
The kernel of information in there is that you cannot trust
the judgment of another man.
Of another man.
Period.
It's you judge it based on the quality of the looks of his wife.
To me, this
makes perfect sense to me.
Is the beauty of America. We're supposed to be of, by, and for, right? We have a First Amendment. There's a reason it's number one. It's the information doesn't get to be controlled to me. That's why we have the First Amendment. Freedom of the press.
Do you think the First Amendment is absolute? Do you think the First Amendment is absolute?
Oh, you're going to get me to fire in the theater.
Exactly.
Come on. What do you think? You're co-hosting one
of
these other girls? This is me you're talking to. I want to have a substantive debate.
There should be no secrecy whatsoever. We should have published, we should have told the Nazis that we were going to be invading Normandy.
If my government
on June
gets
the
to 5th, control
1944. We should have said that.
If it gets to control the information I have,
right,
then it gets to ultimately control my perception of reality. It gets to dictate and propagandize me in order to invoke a reaction they want from me. I don't think that the politicians or those who work in the bureaucracy, which number one are people who can't get a real job in the real world, or they're recruited from the military, which means they already have that mindset of a slave.
So do government workers, male government workers, who obviously aren't fit enough to work in the private sector, what do their wives look like?
I don't know. But here's the one thing I can guarantee you. I'm never going to put them in a position to make a decision for me. That's the rule. I make the decisions. I get to have the information to make the ultimate base of my opinion on the issue, on the topic. Otherwise, listen to me, what you're advocating.
You realize I stopped listening 4 minutes ago.
Of course I do. I could see it in your face.
I know you're doing a soliloquy, Hamlet.
No,
it's
not a soliloquy. It's truly about a fundamental basis of what your principle is. I don't want gods walking above me as government. I don't. I believe that they're supposed to represent, not rule me. I'm arguing with the kid in there. He's a child. He likes having a cradle-to-grave life. He believes there are better people among us. I believe there are not. So that's all I'm saying.
You are Sean. Hear you roar. Yes.
It's important.
Thank you so much.
All right.
All right. Are you done?
Go
now?
Ahead. Go ahead.
Are you okay now?
I'm not privy to information. Go ahead.
No, There's a kernel of truth to what you say there.
Dude, you're talking trillions of dollars are in control.
A kernel of truth. Can we go to some of the other...
go ahead.
I mean, this is... I'm sitting in the studio right now with a guy who used to be just one of these callers.
He used to be one of these callers. And I'm pro-information, yeah.
Here, who should we go to, Sean? Which caller should we take?
Let's go with Randy.
Randy. Hi, Randy from Sandwich.
Oh, I'm so glad you picked me, Sean. Bruce, do me a favor. Can you play referee here? Because the whole city of Chicago knows how well Sean likes to let the caller get any words in. Sean, this morning when I listened to the radio, I thought I was listening to Mancow or Joe Walsh for a minute. Either you smoked a lot of weed or you believe the earth is flat. Either way we slice this, I'm going to quote Jack Nicholson, you can't handle the truth. All right, there's certain things that we cannot just let willy-nilly people know. The system that we're in is not, and I'm a big constitutional believer,
we're not
in like the days of the forefathers. We're in a very, very tricky, like global spying. Everybody's got to have the edge, and there's certain things that we just cannot let out, because if we do, we lose our edge, and we're not able to fight the good fight.
There you go.
Randy, thanks so much.
Now, maybe Randy's too stupid to handle it, and he sounds like he could be. But I'm not, and I don't even believe the kid in there in his mom's yoga pants that he is. I think that the information is to be digested. I have respect, though, for everybody. I believed in that whole nonsense, and I will not accept these buffoons as rulers above me. But Randy, you know what? You probably should. And that's the truth. What he's basically saying is stupid people can't handle information. And on his, and I think he represented them very well.
All right. Have you gotten this out of your system?
Take them all. I want them all like this.
Who do you like in the Masters today?
I couldn't care less. What are you going to root for Rory? Give me Tiger. I'll take Tiger.
Rory looked pretty good, although he was up against, as you probably saw in the WGC Dell against Tiger. That match, he kind of screwed the pooch, and Tiger got to advance to the next round. Tiger's game is a little bit off in every area from the way it was from 10 or 11 years ago, but it's still good enough to win. I think Rory's going to get the career,
what about the kid
career Grand Slam.
What about the kid sleeping with Gretzky's daughter?
Dustin Johnson,
yeah,
who, according to people that I've talked to, is the proverbial dumber than a box of rocks.
No kid.
But boy, can he hit a golf ball.
Fascinating. And I'm going to spend a minute of my life watching this. Go ahead.
Well, I think we should just do Masters coverage all morning because we could pick up the slack from where Gary McCord was years ago. You know, he was kicked off the Masters broadcast.
Because
he described the 16th green as being bikini waxed. We bikini wax the other 17 greens at Augusta National today.
Any sport verbally that would allow the mass wearing of Zanzibelt pants, it doesn't get my attention.
They still do that? All right. We've done our calisthenics this morning. We've gotten, you know, the fringes of your opinions. Because you're mainly sane. You mainly are, but everybody's got their craziness. Everybody believes, you know, we're all like Dan Proft.
I make a terrible slave.
Even
That's
a sane man like Dan Proft, we all are entitled to our conspiratorial beliefs. He believes that Jay Cutler tanked in the second half of the NFC title game against the Green Bay Packers. The guy had a knee injury.
It's only because Proft had the over in a parlay.
Well, he just believed that Jay Cutler should have rubbed some dirt on it and gone back into the game. So we're all birthers and truthers.
Luckily, I didn't waste my time watching.
And extremists like you in one manner or fashion. And I'm sure it'll all come out of me and I won't sound so sane over the next 3.5 hours. But enjoying our little term and I'm going to miss you.
You're not going to be here
tomorrow.
I'm going home to Florida.
Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy on AM 560 The Answer.
Listen to Dan and Amy on your smartphone. Download the AM 560 mobile app today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy. So, Sean, did you see that they had the first photographs ever of a black hole? I can't even get out the line. So, and apparently,
I'm
right
not
in
getting
the,
in trouble, even though you want me to.
It's this black center. This is a circular thing, black, and then it has like a corona around it. And if you look very carefully, you can see Malaysian Flight 370, which is because Don Lemon, if you recall, said that.
I thought
it was there.
I thought the photograph of a black hole was the Chicago budget.
Hey, there you go.
See?
You scared me. I was ready for the third time this morning to hit the delay. Pardon my Jimmy shorts. Uh-huh. So there you go. Meantime, Rahm Emanuel's last city council meeting.
Ta-da!
And I think that Amy Rule was there, and she actually was his wife. And she wasn't like, Rahm, we got to take our daughter to Romania for a bat mitzvah. What is the $15 million for? Yeah. I
hate when they parade their spouses around. I really do. Although
Rahm Emanuel.
Who knew Grady Preckwinkle was married to a fella? Found that out recently.
Oh my God.
Zeus, handsome son of a
His
gun
name
that
is
he is.
Zeus,
do you ever see him?
Love, you know, I'm partial to that because
and it's
I
funny
love the Greek mythological names.
The
yes.
beard didn't actually have a beard, which I found fascinating. But don't worry about Rahm retiring because the transgendering Rahm, it's going to run the exact same way with Lori. Did you see the TIFF thing yesterday? The TIFF agreement?
Yes.
All the
I did.
She,
this
I
is
listened,
for Lincoln Yards.
For right. Lincoln Yards.
All, passed the city council.
And she rubber stamps it, basically, with the warning the kind, you know, when you take your mom's car and she, you better bring it back, mister. The full tank of gas.
Redevelopments overwhelmingly passed, but Lightfoot says she had a stern message for the Lincoln Yards developers.
Enjoy this moment in the sun because you're never going to get a deal like this again out of the city of Chicago as long as I'm mayor.
And a deal it is, brother.
That was Derek Blakely reporting from CBS. Do you know I went to school with him?
Really?
Northwestern Journalism School. Huh. He got a job right out of college. I'm here. So
think there's no need to kick you when you're down. Yeah, I hear
but
you.
But anyway, no, you know, tax incremental financing, I mean, it's a way to attract business, right?
It's a
but
subsidy
it
scam.
It does look like a scam. Yeah, it
is.
It does.
And it's very, and it's, you know what, I laugh every time we pretend that we don't like monopolies or we hate the fact that we have this, because what it does is it solidifies that developer can do no wrong. And right. If you look at this project, it's a decade, all right? It's 10 right. years. And the way in which they got this through is by promoting that you're going to have low-income housing. So it's going to be – is that technically Lincoln Park? I think it is, right?
Lincoln Yards? I don't know. No, it's not Lincoln Park.
It's near
exactly.
it. I thought it was. But anyway –
I don't go into the city.
No, you're probably afraid. The moral of the story is all of the school, the faux outrage for the students in the Chicago Public School, if you buy into that communist bastardized system, this directly takes the money from the school. Directly. It's well, 50% of your property taxes goes to schooling.
Yeah.
So if this is, let's just use their math, which we know is nonsense. Say it's $800 billion. That means $400 billion directly from Strzok. What's his, the guy who replaced Karen Lewis's name? Stark? Strzok? Whatever.
Yeah, Jesse Sharkey.
Yeah, the other communist. Right. Good thing is we got another. They're constantly
so here's
to follow.
The problem. You know, it's interesting that both progressives and conservatives seem to agree that TIF tax incremental financing doesn't work.
Yeah, but you know who doesn't agree?
But apparently the people in power do, and they use it all the time to build like the DePaul Arena. Wasn't that done with TIF?
Because it's all a payoff scheme. It's a pay-to-play. It is the true trust fund of pay-to-play is a TIF agreement.
All right. So, you know, we can agree on all that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, our top story, of course, is, and this bears repeating over and over and over again, William Barr testifying yesterday before Congress.
You're not suggesting, though, that spying occurred.
I think there's spying did occur. Yes, I think spying did occur.
Well,
the question is whether it was predicated. I think there was probably a failure among a group of leaders there at the upper echelon.
You know what I love is that the Senate actually has its own orchestra.
I have a question.
Which is it's just amazing to me.
I have a question, and I want to ask it for the audience. I know you can answer it, but I want to ask it. And you can answer it, too, to show people that anybody can be a lawyer. Here's the question.
Right.
How can you be pro-Barr and pro the information he gives you, which is vital?
Yes.
You know, I'm more shocked by the shock, but which is vital. And then anti-Julian Assange. How can you have those two conflicting, that paradox
of opinion?
You
can't wrap your head around both of those.
I can't. But how can people justify
it? I mean, we do need a certain amount of secrecy. We don't need the corruption of the government, which apparently is what William Barr is averring by saying that something happened with the upper echelon of government.
Hear about the big stories of the day, then talk about them right here on Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Ding, 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 ding. Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy. Yeah, Sean, I know Julian Assange got arrested, but we talked about that all last hour, so... Those of you people who I'm sure are recording
out.
It on your DVRs or DVDs, you listen to that, or maybe it's on a podcast. We'll get back to it later.
I just found out about Pamela Anderson.
Oh, that she's Julian Assange's
girlfriend. No wonder
girlfriend.
I like the guy.
And also, of course, William Barr, Attorney General, testified yesterday before the Senate, and he let the cat out of the bag. He believes that they're spying, and it happened in the upper echelons. And we'll find out more about that. But it's freaked out the Democrats. But I would like, if we can, Sean, because there's so much else that's fun. Kirsten Gillibrand, you were showing me off the air that she was being interviewed by a child, like a 10-year-old. And She had a couple of moments recently, including yesterday. She was actually a cheerleader with Bernie Sanders. That's how much stock that the Democrats are putting in Bernie Sanders right now, that Gillibrand would appear with Bernie Sanders when he was talking about health care. It's a right. And she was cheering him on. But then she also said this.
This has to become the next social safety net. It has to become something that is there for you no matter what. No matter if you can afford it. No matter where you live. No matter what.
Yeah, no matter what. Okay, so that will bankrupt the entire country. And that's where the Democrats are headed.
We're already there.
But the funny thing was, and I missed this. This happened a couple of days ago. She was being interviewed, and she referred to the fact that she wanted to limit or eliminate what she called tactile nuclear weapons. She called them tactile nuclear weapons, and John Bolton was laughing about it because, of course, it's tactical nuclear weapons. And how can you eliminate nuclear weapons if you don't know the difference between strategic and tactical nuclear weapons? She was calling them tactile, although, you know, apparently, you know, they will touch your arsenal if they're tactile.
I'm not touching anybody's arsenal.
Of course not. And but I mean, it's hysterical now. Sure, Donald Trump, during one of the debates, did not know what the nuclear triad was. And he this guy is fantastic. I mean, the guy basically bluffed his way into the presidency. He didn't know what I am a little bit charitable towards our future president, Gillibrand. She'll learn that it's tactical nuclear weapons.
The benefit of Donald Trump, and believe me, you know, I get all this time, you know, you're a never Trumper. You're this. That's not the case. However, I do love what's happening while he's in there, because what you're seeing is the same party that was all outraged. And, you know, one of my favorite movies as a kid growing up was All the President's Men. You know, you remember with
sure.
Dustin Hoffman and Robert Redford. You were through that era. And I remember it was outrageous. Even if you were a Republican, the idea that the president can direct and control the FBI and the CIA, it's insanity. For political purposes. And that's the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. I can recognize wrongdoing. But here you have arguably the exact same, if not worse, as you see the tentacles and how deep they go into the FBI. And the Democrat reporters are, it's nowhere but on talk radio. This story is nowhere.
You're not suggesting, though, that spying occurred.
I think spying did occur. Yes, I think spying did occur.
But
the question is whether it was predicated. I think there was probably a failure among a group of leaders there at the upper echelon.
Probably a failure. And who does Skitch Henderson conduct the Senate Orchestra? It's great that they underscore the testimony that way, because music adds much
I gotta ask
to the testimony.
To step back from this and look at it in that.
This is shocking. Do you realize how shocking this is?
This is
he
huge.
He said this yesterday.
This is huge.
He said this, and he says it in such a placid demeanor. You know, we talk about Mr. Rogers, Mayor Pete. Barr is pretty good, too, because he doesn't shout it from the rooftops like we would be wont to do.
Just, yeah.
You know, I think there was spying going on here among the upper echelons.
It's insane.
It's the corruption of the American government.
But I got to ask you this. Is your takeaway from this that we are forever doomed into this tribal demagoguery where it doesn't really matter just so my guy's in charge? Because the complacency by Democrats and by Democrat reporters, it's insane to me. This is like how we laughed at George Stephanopoulos as a reporter when he was the crossing guard to the intern molestation of Monica Lewinsky.
Right.
I mean, are you people insane?
Well, it is tribal because, I mean, take Julian Assange, who was arrested today at the Ecuadorian embassy in London. They gave up his right to asylum. But Exhibit A is Julian Assange because we as conservatives, well, not you, the extreme libertarian, we as conservatives in the main were very upset with Julian Assange for allowing state secrets to become public. That was a number of years ago. But then the likes of Sean Hannity lionized Julian Assange because he gave us the Hillary Clinton and the DNC documents. So, yeah, it does get very tribal. And
sheep want to be
all become hypocrites.
This was an attempted takedown of a president, and we beat them. We beat them. So the Mueller report, when they talk about obstruction, we fight back.
Well, we do. Yes, we do. That's another matter, whether it was obstruction or not. You know, the House, if they want to go down that rabbit hole and try to impeach him on obstruction, a very expansive view of obstruction, more power to Jerry Nadler in doing that. It will play right into Trump's hands. Yes, Sean.
So you know what this shows me? I'm thinking about 2020 election, and we just had the Bibi Netanyahu election where it goes down to the count off, and you realize this is forever going to be the format of American politics as well. It will always be two versions with just little tiny nuances of the same government central election and head of it. And that's what this kind of debate shows you. That's what this reaction to what every American who believes in the principles of America, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, you should be outraged that during the election year, the sitting president had the power and wherewithal to constantly monitor and spy on who he perceived as his opponent, even though he was walking out. Yep. And Obama's in Europe right now, and he's a big celebrity. So it's sickening to me.
I love the way Obama somehow manages to stay above the fray.
That's what I mean. It's great.
The thing about the IRS scandal, which was fascinating, was Obama didn't even have to direct. There are no emails between him and Lois Lerner or anything like that. She just knew to do his bidding. I mean, they were encouraging it. Dick Durbin was encouraging. Go after those conservatives. Target them.
So
and nobody, John Koskinen, the head of the IRS, there's destruction of documents. Why wasn't he in jail? Lois Lerner goes on administrative leave. She gets paid for this. Nobody ever pays for any of this.
So to all the future scumbags out there that want to be gangsters and, you know, bookies and just lowlifes among society.
Go into government.
Go into government, baby. You will be
high
a
five
star.
Me, man. I know
that's
we had a tough, we had a tough 5 a.m.
No,
hour,
wasn't
but
I
now
just,
we're together.
It's not tough.
Yes.
I dominated you last always.
Of course. And I went into my submissive fetal
Please.
Position.
You should have
usual.
A red ball in your mouth after that first hour.
Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy on AM 560 The Answer.
It's what Chicago is talking about. It's Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan and Amy on AM 560 The Answer.
Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy, did you see this story? Gregory Craig, the ex-Obama White House counsel, expects to be charged in relation to Ukrainian work with Manafort. His lawyer said, are you telling me that somebody that close to the former president of the United States?
Yes.
Why didn't Mueller throw him in jail, too?
Yes, because he's a
why
Democrat.
Why did they throw everybody in jail? Why not the investigation of Hillary?
Because we've allowed people to be the watchers, and people have opinions, and they self-serve them, so their opinions.
You didn't even congratulate me on my Jerky Boys impersonation.
It was
right
terrible. It was terrible. But, you know, what do you want to do? People are on the phone. I mean, you got this.
Oh, you want to talk
so
to
I feel like
people?
Mrs. Wolf. You have no stamina. Yeah. Keep up with the same argument.
Hi-yo. Did you see that Kim Kardashian is going to become a lawyer?
Sure, she
Kim Kardashian.
You did. There you go. Maybe she heard you were
The problem is I read the story about it. She's not going to law school. In California, apparently, you can do an apprenticeship. And actually, there's nothing wrong with doing that because you don't need to learn the stuff in law school.
I'll bet you.
Yeah.
I'm serious. This is going to happen in mm-hmm. my lifetime. Maybe not yours because you look terrible. Mm-hmm. In my lifetime, someone is not going to go to law school but take the bar and become a lawyer.
Actually.
Because you protect that degree.
You know
because you people
that?
Want to feel like you're erudites among men.
No. It's all a hazing process. I agree with you. But that's the whole point of being a lawyer. You talk about stamina. Just get through law school. Anyway, she's not going
it's
to law
hard,
school.
Jameson.
She never had to stand in a class in law
Why
school.
Why should she?
Answer 6 questions in a row from a professor incorrectly, start to freeze and not know where you are and not know what to say, and have the professor say in front of a class of 100 people, put a mirror under his nose and see if he's breathing. I'm not saying that happened to me, Sean.
But you know what you're. You know
I'm
what,
not saying that happened to me.
The nice thing about
commercial
having,
paper, 1978, Professor Spack.
The nice thing about having my form of ADD is that I almost didn't hear any of that. Because here's what I'm thinking is, what if the entire structure, and I've said this before, the entire structure of school is absolutely wrong and incorrect. And in this modern day of information in the palm of our hand, we didn't need these corrupt monopoly bastions of education, and you just allowed people to test on their actual knowledge, and you didn't care how they got it, just so they could pass
the
bar.
I think that people could do an apprenticeship. It's the way they used to do it, like 120 years ago. You didn't go to law school, and law school is probably too long, too. But I think going to law school actually does teach you to think like a lawyer. Oh, there are certain, yeah,
so, there are certain ways to, you know, I'm a real estate broker. You know what lawyers do? They create a problem to fix a problem so they can get a check. Come on, nobody, you're not better than
anybody. That's kind of difficult thinking. Yeah. Candace, how are you, Candace?
Good. I agree with Sean. I can't stand these elites who think they know better than us. But, okay, I want everybody to watch this show. Okay, it's like episode 5 and 6 of The Irish Mob on Netflix. Sean, okay. Have you seen this?
No, but I see them all the time. They're because, called Mike Madigan and
sure.
Ed Burke and the Chicago
but
Democrats.
Like,
and what do they do on
I
this
like,
show?
Okay, but these two episodes talk about the FBI and Whitey Bulger, and I did not even know. How is this possible that I didn't even know until
it's old
the
news.
Show that Whitey Bulger's brother was a senator?
It's Bulger.
You know what I mean?
That's all right.
And also,
and what's
okay,
the point?
Anyway,
and sorry. Candace, I mean
for the
same point I'm trying to make is that they were talking about the FBI and how they were protecting Whitey Bulger. And Bulger, whatever his name
is. Ray Bulger.
And his brother is a freaking senator.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. No, there's corruption. There's no question that there is corruption.
It's a ta-da moment.
And kill people.
Yes, I understand. No, and J. Edgar Hoover walked around in a. Well, you already made your point, and it took you. You meandered in order to make the point. Thank you, Candace. I appreciate it.
I got an email for Viagra and Cialis. You want me to forward it to you?
Mike, North Side. Hi, Mike. How you doing? Hi, Mike.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Monday, we played a tape from my call Monday. I said, give this new mayor 3 days and see if she flips. She flipped already. There's a picture of her in the paper with Jabba the governor. She already supplicated herself. She went.
Go ahead. Yes.
She gave in to the $2.4 billion in TIF money for these two developments. Who's behind Sterling Bay? The Crowns and the Pritzkers.
There
Not
we go.
JB, but the rest of his family.
No, I got that.
So
Hold
this
on a
is
minute.
The daily what? Precedent. As long as the Venecos make money, it's okay.
Let me ask you this,
it
Mike.
It didn't go directly in Richie's pocket. And I don't know what was
I
worse,
agree.
The picture of those two together, or the pictures coming out of Mexico, a Dan Prof cutting with some guys in a pool. You know, now he flipped right. too. Is he going to be, right. you know, they're smoking cigars. That's how it starts. It starts cuddling in a pool.
Sure.
Then they're painting each other's toenails and having a slumber party. Dan Prof, I guarantee you, is going to be the next drag queen, parade queen at a pride parade. He's going to be on the Wrigley Gum Float. He's going to be Mr. Juicy Fruit.
Yeah.
He's going to invite you guys to go up and down Broadway with him.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, though,
don't
Mike.
Don't answer your phone in June.
Would you rather see Dan Proft or Grady Preckwinkle in a teddy? Tell the truth.
So, Mike.
Grady Preckwinkle, that's only her father. Her mother was Mr. Ed.
All right.
She could eat a corn cob through a picket fence.
All right, Mike, and it's really, I'm not trying to top this because your 3 minutes of stand-up is fantastic. You're better than the unknown comic. Here's the thing, Mike, are you worried? Are you worried that, I don't mind the TIF thing with the Pritzkers, you know, that's garden variety corruption.
Good. Sure.
Are you worried that Lori Lightfoot is not going to look into what Kim Fox did? She's going to capitulate to Kim Fox. Are you worried about that?
She's going to capitulate on everything. She switched quicker than Jane Byrne did. Remember, Jane Byrne was a reformer. She had Lipinski and Aiello backing her up, and the next thing they knew, they showed up to work the next day. Charlie Schwiebel is in there with Eddie Radoliak. They said, you're out.
And
I don't
her
even
exit
think she's
ramp
a lesbian
sucks.
Anymore.
Well, thank
and
you.
Her exit ramp sucks.
Did you hear what he just said?
Yeah, it was great.
He
but
just
here's
came
the
up with about 15 one-liners
but
right
here's
there.
The thing. Yes. I surmised all of that a month ago. He's not going to top me. I told you, you don't have to adjust the height of the urinal in the mayor's office. That was a double entendre. It just didn't,
right.
you know what I mean? Because what I was really saying is it's the same thing as Rahm. Whether it's the TIF agreement, whether it's Kim Fox, don't worry. The Irish mafia is going to go on. It is insulated. It is protected. It has many capos called aldermen. You're never going to hurt it. And where's the FBI? They're investigating the Republicans.
Danny from Mount Prospect. Good morning. Hello, Danny.
Hello. Hi. Hi, how are you? Oh, Sean, we hugged last February at an Ives event.
There you go. Still remembers it, Wolf. Still remembers it, you see?
Very good. Hi. Right. I'm Chopped Liver. Hi, Danny.
Well, I wanted to tell Bruce, I don't think I have to ask, if it was communist Illinois when we had Mrs. Todd.
Oh, my goodness.
Remember Mrs. Todd?
Wait. Were you in my class with me?
I don't know if we were in the same class, but
Mrs. Todd is my favorite teacher of all time. My sophomore high school English teacher, and I never lived up to what she would be embarrassed at what I'm doing right now, of course.
Everyone is.
But, I mean, she was the greatest teacher of all time, Mrs. Todd. We were supposed to read A Tale of Two Cities while we were reading Cry of the Beloved Country. We were supposed to read ahead, and she asked me in class, who was Jerry Cruncher? And I didn't know because I hadn't read ahead. And she said, don't worry, everybody else is done. I used to get flop sweat walking into that class. She was impossible. I have never lived up to the Mrs. Todd standard.
And didn't she give you love of language?
Oh, unbelievable. I have never...
And I write. Well, because of her, I write. I have published.
Really?
She was the most... Yeah, and you guys are segueing between education and then movies, because I want to ask you if you know who this actress is, Kate Burton. She's Richard Burton's daughter.
No.
Loved Richard Burton.
Yes, go ahead.
She had a role in Scandal, and she played, I don't know, she ran for president in Scandal, but she murdered her husband. And then she had a role on NCIS. I watch too much TV.
Sure.
She murdered her son. And I want to cast her in the role in Hillary Clinton's life.
Okay.
She has this perpetual smile.
She's got the qualifications. Sure. Yeah.
You know, I want Kate McKinnon to do it, of course, because Kate McKinnon is the woman who imitates Hillary imitating a human. So she's imitating a human, imitating a human. Danny, Mrs. Todd didn't have a television. She didn't. I suggest you get rid of yours and write some more. Thank you, Danny, so much for calling.
I want to put a blonde wig on Karl Rove and cast him as Hillary Clinton. What the hell's the difference?
Hear about the big stories of the day, then talk about them right here on Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan and Amy continues now. And make sure to stay tuned to catch me, Mike Gallagher, coming up at 9, only on AM 560, The Answer.
Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy. So Bernie Sanders, who is the front runner, Sean, as a matter of fact, he's such a front runner that Kirsten Gillibrand, who's also running for president, stood by his side and cheered him on. She was rah-rahing as he said things like this yesterday.
Please do not tell us that this is a rational healthcare system.
Right.
Yeah, that's her saying right. So it's not rational. No, it isn't rational. And to the extent it's not rational, it's because the government has been meddling in this since they made it illegal. They have wage and price controls during the World War II era. So to get around that, to circumvent this, we all know the story. Employers started offering healthcare. And so it's been cockeyed, pardon my legal term of art there, for the past 75 years or so. And, yeah, it's a hodgepodge of all kinds of government intervention. He just wants to exacerbate the problem, make it 10 times worse by having basically socialized medicine.
However, what it's done is set the dominoes up perfectly, and no one can stampede a useful idiot like a socialist Democrat. So be careful to laugh this off.
I'm not laughing
it off.
Because
the reality is this is the week that a judge in Cook County, Illinois, ordered a private company to operate a hospital because it is in need.
Westlake Hospital.
In Melrose Park. Yeah. And you see the public officials, who personally I love, and professionally, when you look at this, you're almost stupefied by the audacity of people to demand other people serve them. And this is the basis of all socialism. It is force.
Well,
and we are comfortable as Americans in ordering other people to serve us.
You know, Kevin Williamson in National Review, from whom I plagiarize all the time, but I'll attribute something to him right now, is he had an article recently, an essay, about how in San Francisco, where you have the best of the brightest, the richest, they want to create affordable housing there. Well, they can't, and they can't figure it out because there are so many competing interests. I mean, there's the environmental concerns, there's the aesthetic concerns, which are also always at odds with each other. There's the fact that there's a scarcity of land, and you got all these rich people, and they're all liberals, too, in San Francisco, and they can't come up with affordable housing for people. Now, that's one small problem that cannot be solved by a local government and with smart people. Now, why don't we take a look at this gigantic thing called the U.S. healthcare system? You think that on a mass scale, we're going to be able to help all achieve something rational? Bernie Sanders, you know, a guy who never made a dime in his life in private enterprise. Well, except that he wrote a book. But extolling the virtues of socialism, and he makes $1 million on it, the most capitalist thing you could possibly do. So unless you live in a world of irony, you're going to fail.
And look what they're turning to as the solution. Arguably the greatest failure of government, Medicare, Medicaid, the greatest failure of government, that each and every year the waste, fraud, and abuse alone is mind-boggling. And they want this expanded? That's the beauty of government. The more it fails, the stronger it gets.
You know, what about reasonable solutions to this? You return a lot of the power to the states. They can experiment with different things. But that's not sexy. You know, the Republicans, Mitch McConnell was on yesterday with Brett Baer, and the Republicans have conceded on something that and Obama should be happy. Obama won. Maybe Obamacare is going to be gutted, but he won on the basic point, which was insurance companies have to take care of pre-existing conditions, which which undermines the whole definition of insurance. But okay, I understand that. Still, we can let the states have more power than they do and experiment with different things.
And let's start from the principle of what are we really trying to solve? We are all dead. Everyone is dead. No one gets out alive. The question really is, what are you willing to take from strangers and your kids to stay alive? That's the question.
Let's go to Mark right now in Plainfield. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Bruce and Sean. I'm a CPA who's been in financial reporting for like 20 years, so I know corporate payroll data, and it's amazing what companies will pay for their employees' health care. My personal company, the company I work for, they'll pay $12,000. I put in $3,000. I'd be so much better off if they gave me the $12,000. Let me self-insure. I could probably get a family policy for $6,000 with a $6,000 deductible. Then I get to keep the $3,000 myself. And if everybody was doing it, no one in their right mind would be buying these expensive policies.
Mark, I am doing
it. The doctor.
Yeah.
Right. You just pay the doctor and then keep the money in chance.
No, Mark.
And then watch the insurance go down when people start buying these policies.
Right.
But the government doesn't want to do that because they just want our tax money.
Right. And Mark, it's fascinating because nobody really knows the price of anything, which is wonderful. And you're a bottom line guy. That's your profession. And nobody really knows the price of anything.
And I am. Here's the problem. They've created this Rube Goldberg mechanism called Obamacare, which doesn't even allow you to do what he suggests. I am in that category. Do you realize I have never been sick? No one in my family, myself, my wife, my two kids. We have no pre-existing conditions. I'm paying $2,200 a month, and I have a $15,000 deductible.
You're just trying to show off.
I'm not showing off. It's harming me to the point where I have to constantly work.
Don't you want to take care of your fellow man?
No.
You're lucky.
No,
You're blessed in being healthful.
No, I don't.
You're a social Darwinist, aren't
you? My obligation is to my children.
See, I don't mind taking care of our fellow man. That's fine with me. But let's be transparent about it. That's what we're doing. Instead, we have, as you mentioned, this Rube Goldberg invention, and it camouflages all the costs. I mean,
my fellow man doesn't take care of himself. The biggest problem in America with American poor is obesity. So if I'm going to pay for these fat slobs, they're going to go on a workout regimen I approve of. See, but that's where it leads. And the reality is they don't have the testicle fortitude to tell you the truth, where I do.
It was Rod Blagojevich used the term testicular fortitude. But
right now he's getting some.
In the 1960s, I think CBS did a documentary called Hunger in America with an Aaron Copland theme underneath it. And it was all about kids with distended stomachs, poverty, how widespread it was in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
Distended stomachs. Now, of course, again, the irony is that the poor among us are among the most obese, in part because, you know, if you get 1,000 calories from a Big Mac, fries, and a milkshake, that'll tide you over for a while. They can't afford to buy the Whole Foods healthy stuff.
I ever tell you about the guy I threw out of my cigar store? Now, I've thrown many out, but my favorite.
Would I get thrown out of your cigar store?
No, you'd laugh. You know, you'd stick okay. around like one of the pitchers for fun. But here's the thing. One of my favorite scumbags, lowlifes, was this guy who would brag about how he was on the government cheese. Okay? Then it came time he was smoking cigars. He pulled out one of those cards they give you where you get to pretend you're a man. Yes. They make it look like a charge card instead of a green stamp.
It's a link card.
Which it should be.
I was on a federal jury that convicted two people of a link card fraud.
And he knew it. Yes. And I've known him for years. And to this day, he knows I can't stomach him. The sight of him makes me sick.
I love that they do make it look like a credit card so that you don't have
to be
embarrassed.
Like you're a real person. Like a real boy, Geppetto. Or Pocchio.
Whatever.
Anyway, here's the
was Geppetto
is,
real? Pinocchio was real. Yeah. Geppetto was the puppet. Yeah, but who's pulling the strings?
This is the problem. Because of the fraud that you allow to go on and turn a blind eye to.
Sure.
So, but that with people of character, I'll throw you on your ear. You pull that nonsense. The problem is most won't. And right now you have these phony baloney institutions that are profiting from this. And that's why when it comes to Medicare or food stamps or whatever public sector entitlement benefit, it's the leeches are the only ones that win.
Let me ask you this, Inspector Javert. If somebody, a poor person, steals a loaf of bread to feed his family, should he be hounded to the ends of the earth?
No, he should have thought about becoming a senator and making his wife a lobbyist like Dick Durbin.
Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy on AM 560, The Answer.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
Hey, it's Dan and Amy, and we're in Nuevo Vallarta on our Passport to Paradise vacation. We're coming to you poolside at the Miraval Distinct Luxury Residences, and we're still recovering from the other night when we jetted off to a distant island, barely inhabited, for a rhythm of the night, Cirque du Soleil, meals, Amy.
Yeah.
Amy, you're dancing.
Well, I don't know who talked us into this excursion that we went on, but it was sold as in we're going to an exotic island similar to Survivor.
Right.
You know, it's uninhabited. It's, you know, it's you'll be at one with nature. Don't touch the indigenous people. And we got on
Except
the catamaran.
Johnny, our waiter. Exactly. We were allowed to touch him.
I know. So it was an hour catamaran ride, and we get there, and it's completely...
It's just us. It's just the two of us and 1,000 other people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There are actually 750 other people there. But so we ate dinner in the jungle, almost got attacked by scorpions, which turned out to be insects.
Yeah, like the size of a half a thumbnail. Yeah, okay.
And then
harrowing.
Johnny was our waiter. We, you know, it was nice. We had a good time because we had a good crew. Most of the people that came with us on the trip came with us on that excursion.
Yes.
And then we saw the most fantastic show. It was Cirque du Soleil, but it was so much more. They were twirling fire. Jesse White tumblers were there.
Well, yes, the Mexican version of the Jesse White tumblers. Actually, they could probably teach the Jesse White tumbler something. They were that good. It was actually a great show.
They got a lot of height too on their backflips. I mean, they should be in the Olympics, honestly.
Off the seesaw.
It was a trapeze show. Without a net underneath. I mean, it was crazy. And then they dangled in the air.
Sure.
Another act dangled in the air.
Of course, I love the romance. I mean, it's just the tears.
I know.
Nonstop. But it was a beautiful show, though.
It was. It was great.
Yeah.
And then we took the boat home.
Right.
But the boat ride home was hysterical.
Right.
Because they did a Queen show.
Right. Right. Let's develop that a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, yes.
they had a bunch of the staff dress up like Freddie Mercury and the band members from Queen. And then they serenaded you with Bohemian Rhapsody.
Exactly. But it was funny because the guy had fake teeth in to look like Freddie Mercury, and they popped out a few times. And so it was cool. And then people, you know,
the
Beth
only
and
thing
Jim.
That, you know the only thing about the boat ride and the whole excursion, the only downside?
What?
All those fracking Canadians. There are too many Canadians here at the same time we are. And they just, either especially.
What?
The worst. It's not bad enough to be Canadian. French Canadians.
Oh,
intolerable.
From Montreal.
Yeah.
What did they do to you? They have a lot of spirit. They dance. They're the first ones to hit the dance floor. And speaking of dancing, Beth and Jim, they're in our group. They came with us on this excursion.
Yes.
You know,
Jim
the
McCain,
doctor.
Respected dentist.
Yes. He is quite the dancer. He and his wife, they cut a rug up there. I mean, really, it was impressive. So.
It was a good time. Mike Sakoff, from our sales staff, also quite the Fred Astaire on the dance floor.
I don't think
surprise some people, surprise some clients to learn, but that's true.
Really?
True story.
I didn't see Mike.
True story.
I did not see him dancing. Was he really dancing?
Like the wind.
I think I saw him sitting in a chair. Because you were sitting in a chair, too.
I don't dance except when prize money is on the line.
Exactly.
It was a good time, though. It was a great excursion. And that's one of the many things you do in Nuevo Vallarta and via the Maravel luxury residences where we're staying. But it actually really was a good time. Dan and Amy coming to you from the aforesaid Maravel Distinct Luxury Residences in Nuevo Vallarta.
Connect with Dan and Amy using the AM560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
Deb, I'm so done.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Ding, 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 ding. Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy. Coming up after the news at 7:30, we'll talk to Krista McQuarrie of the Chicago Tribune about all things. Well, her moniker on Twitter is State House Chick. We'll talk about the boondoggles and the corruption of J.B. Pritzker and Mike Madigan and Lori Lightfoot apparently sucked into that vortex yesterday as well. So I don't want you to think that we're not talking about that. And we've talked till we were semi-blue in the face about Julian Assange already. We'll get back to that later. But I don't want to lose sight of the big, big story yesterday. This was Attorney General William Barr testifying before the Senate, and he let out this little bombshell in a very calm Mr. Rogers-like demeanor, not as good as Mayor Pete of South Bend, Indiana, but it was quite compelling.
You're not suggesting, though, that spying occurred.
I think spying did occur. Yes, I think spying did occur.
But
the question is whether it was predicated. I think there was probably a failure among a group of leaders there at the upper echelon.
See, I don't think you really needed Doc Severinsen in the Senate orchestra to underscore that, because it was quite potent what he said there. I mean, he's saying probably there was corruption in the upper echelon. So our bigwigs in government were weaponizing our agencies like the FBI. It's more than the FBI. It's the CIA as well. And there's a big problem there. And, of course, the Democrats, Sean, went nutso and their acolytes in the media.
There is no evidence to support any allegation that the FBI or any intelligence agency placed a spy in the Trump campaign.
His baseless claims of spies.
This so-called spy issue, first of all, there's absolutely no evidence there was a spy. So it's really a fake issue.
It's this phony baloney story about a spy in the campaign. To call them a conspiracy theory is to give them too much credit. Just fake facts.
All the other people who've seen the intelligence in your own party are saying there's just no there. I'm wondering what it will take for you, Congressman Zeldin, to say he's full of it.
The usual gang of idiots on cable. See, but Fox excluded. Yes, Sean.
To me, the two stories are very linked. And what I mean by that is you could not have this deep state political-driven agenda in the bureaucracies of government if you had a venue for which the good people could release the information and the atrocities that are occurring. So to me, who like to connect dots, I believe now it's referred to as just conspiratorial.
Just like any insane person would. Yeah.
So it is no coincidence to me.
A beautiful mind, Sean Thompson.
Thank you.
Yes.
And on the same day that this is breaking, that the Santa's little helper, who has aged terribly, Julian Assange, is arrested.
First of all, he looks overweight, doesn't he? Of course, if you were stuck inside all the time, you could never go for a jog.
But I like the fact that Pamela Anderson is still attracted to chubby guys. It's because a lot of hopefulness out there. But my point is,
can I stipulate? I mean, can we just table that motion and not talk about how Julian Assange is the most virtuous man in the world, and just stick with this for a second?
Yeah.
So we really got something that it's going to blow up in the Democrats and the media's face, because Barr is saying that there was, well, I mean, he'll come up with the proof next week. The Democrats are just whistling in the dark over this right now, that the FBI was weaponized.
Well,
and you know, there was abuse in getting this warrant to spy. The word is spy. And I know people like Charles Lane appear on Special Report, and he sounds so wonderful, so calm when he's on there, the guy from The Washington Post. And he says he should have used words like surveillance
Well, what's the difference? It's spying.
No.
Yeah.
No one proves the adage that the bureaucrat is the foot soldier of the tyrant like Chicago. The idea, I'm shocked that people are shocked this happens in a federal level. Of course it does. How do you think you move up to the higher echelon of these bureaucracies unless you're in on the game? So you're surprised that the upper echelon of the EPA or OSHA or the FBI or whatever three-letter acronym you want to throw out there is attached and interwoven with the politicians? Ooh, it's surprising.
And of course, the great thing is to distinguish that, which, and now the tables are being turned on the Democrats after the 2 years that we had to put up with the Mueller investigation. Now the tables are being turned on the Democrats. But compare that to the way they softballed and soft-pedaled the entire Hillary investigation into the emails. But Donald Trump may have the last laugh here.
This was an attempted takedown of a president, and we beat them. We beat them. So the Mueller report, when they talk about obstruction, we fight back.
How many Republican voters work for the streets and sands of Chicago? I mean, are you surprised at this whole thing? Come on. You're step and fetch to the corruption that pays you.
Kevin from Libertyville, good morning.
Hey, guys. I don't know if you guys caught it. It doesn't seem like you did. But your menage of morons talking at the top of your story, describing, saying that there was no spy, there was no spy, there was no spy. That's not the allegation. Now they're trying, the Dems and the media, present company excluded perhaps, but it's not about a spy being planted. They're trying to twist it that way. It's about spying, and it's reprehensible. And Sean, you owe everyone an apology for dissing Candace yesterday, so we'll wait here for your
apology. Hey, thanks so much, Kevin. Well, I mean, there was spying.
I
mean, everybody's known that there's been spying. They used domestic intelligence assets. They used covert overseas intelligence assets. They used the FISA court. They had national security letters. I mean, and then, of course, they didn't even warn President Trump. They warned Dianne Feinstein when she had that Chinese operative working for her for all those years. But they don't warn President Trump because they wanted to get President Trump.
So what do you think happens to the non-corrupt bureaucrat in these institutions that is witnessing this as it's happening? What do you think his career is like on a daily basis? So in other words, you know, the FISA court system has always been, to me, a joke. The idea that you don't have representation or at least a pushback on an agenda of national security
agencies. Well, there's a legitimate use of FISA, and of course this was a corrupt use of FISA. I'll reserve judgment. You know,
it always hides under the cloak of intent, right?
You can give us a call on the turnkey.pro answer line at 312-642-5600. That's 312-642-5600. But you'll see you've already seen the Democrats' reaction to this. I mean, they're saying they're denying, and they're saying they won't even allow you to use the word spying. And it was.
To me, it's not even a question.
And we've known about this a long time. There's no question about it. People, you ask the average Democrat, do they even know who Stephan Harper is? Do they know who Joseph Mifsud is? No, they don't go into the weeds on any of these things. And half the Democrats, there was a U.gov poll last year or so that like half of the Democrats believe that the Russians actually altered votes at the ballot box. They actually did that.
Like Cicero?
In favor of Donald Trump.
Yeah, like Cicero. The question isn't, is the bureaucracies infiltrated by political apparatchiks? It's how deep is the root? There is no question that this organization, in this case the FBI, was doing the bidding of the current then administration of Barack Hussein Obama. There's no question. And to me, it was
there is a question. Nancy Pelosi would demur.
While we're on that subject of the Judiciary Committee, let me just say how very, very dismaying and disappointing that the chief law enforcement officer of our country is going off the rails yesterday and today. He is the Attorney General of the United States of America, not the Attorney General of Donald Trump.
technically that is not true, but assuming arguendo that you're correct, that he's the Attorney General of the United States, it would have been well within his province to have said what he said yesterday. I did think that there was a little speculation on his part, and I hope he can back it up next year, next week, tie it together. Well, when he said that it was in the upper echelon of the government, he's going to. But so far, I don't. Barr is a careerist. He doesn't put out things that he later cannot prove, unlike many of the Rachel Maddows of the media. He will come up with the goods next week. I would be astounded.
This
if
is
he
why
didn't.
The AG should be a position we vote on. I'll tell you the truth.
Maybe not next week, but until the IG comes up with it in June. Yes.
But you didn't even hear what I said.
I did hear what you said, okay, and I know you wanted to continue.
Here's my problem. I like when government is contentious. I like when they're fighting amongst themselves, because that's the only way you get a true vision, a true view. The idea that we let presidents appoint these bureaucrats and pretend that they're the highest law officer in the land. To her argument on her... You're right. He has Trump's back in the same way Eric Holder was a hitman for Obama.
Well, Eric Holder described himself. His own words were that he was the wingman for President Trump.
Sickening.
Now, what would Nancy Pelosi say to that? Nothing, of course, because it was Obama. Dan
was
from McHenry. Good morning. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Good.
So my connection's kind of messed up, but I was going to say two things. One, I think Barr has integrity. I don't think he would have said this unless, and I think he's smart. I don't think he would have said this unless he had something behind it. And two, does this invalidate what all the Dems were saying about Trump's claim that there was surveillance done?
Yes.
Way back before the investigation even started, right?
No, he said that he was being wiretapped, and technically, but the thrust of it was true. I mean, yes, he was being his campaign was being surveilled, and you have to reach an awfully high threshold in order to do that, and I don't think the Democrats did that. Thanks so much, Dan. Your connection was clear.
And that's the problem when you pretend that we have gods among men and you put them in charge of these bureaucracies, and we pretend that somehow they have our principles, our dignity, and our integrity. They don't. How many times you got to get hit in the face before you realize, put your hands up?
Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy on AM 560, The Answer.
You've made the switch, and it feels so good. You've switched to Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
Ruthie Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy.
Finally, a good song.
This portion brought to you by Salerno Butter Cookies and by Salem Cigarettes. Take a puff and it's springtime.
Remember when your doctor recommended Pall Mall? Remember?
Why? Because the
the lowest nicotine. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's when men were men.
So Maxine Waters yesterday, and I don't know if she was joking or not or trying to do something of her effect, but it seems like she was just plain ignorant. And I think there's a rebuttable presumption that Maxine Waters is just plain ignorant. She's this chairman of the committee in which she had all these bankers in front of them, and she started querying them.
Thank you. Today, there are more than 44 million Americans that owe. This is student loan crisis. $1.56 trillion in student loan debt. Last month, this committee received testimony that last year, 1 million student loan borrowers defaulted, which is on top of the 1 million borrowers who defaulted the year before. What are you guys doing to help us with the student loan debt? Who would like to answer first? Mr. Monahan, Big Bank.
We stopped making student loans in 2007 or so.
Oh, so you don't do it anymore. Mr. Corbett?
We exited student lending in 2009.
Mr. Diamond?
When the government took over student lending in 2010 or so, we stopped doing all student lending.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So they don't do it anymore because you and your infinite wisdom, or the Obama administration, nationalized student loans. So what do you expect the banks to do about it? Now, maybe she was just doing that for effect, or maybe she's just plain ignorant.
The best part is Aunt Esther, as I like to refer to her, Aunt Esther was part of the force that helped nationalize the student
of course
loans.
Of course. So
they don't even know what they're doing.
She wants to blame them. It's like Kirsten Gillibrand yesterday. Well, of course, she was a cheerleader for Bernie Sanders. I mean, imagine that. Somebody's running for president of the United States standing next to Bernie Sanders, and she was going rah-rah while he was talking about health care. Do you realize that? And they blame Trump for his malapropisms and not knowing what the nuclear triad is and this and that. Kirsten Gillibrand actually the other day said that she was against tactile nuclear weapons. Tactile. We want to touch your arsenal when we're tactile. But they're tactical nuclear weapons. And John Bolton found that very, very funny. If you don't know the difference between tactical and strategic nuclear weapons, how can you deliberate on them and how much we should have of each?
So she was told to bring this up. And she was told because the reality of
who
this.
Who is she? Pronoun antecedent here. Waters
Aunt
or Gillibrand?
Esther.
Yeah,
Aunt
Waters.
Esther, okay. Because she is aware of just how devastating and how this is going to be one of the future catalysts to the next depression, right. Is that the body politic has underwritten, once again, loans that should have never been given and were forced, right. Thrust upon, in many cases, borrowers. Right. So, you know, I laugh because the disclosure laws, and you know this as a lawyer, the disclosure laws of private lending are arduous, so much so that private banks in some cases have to hire people just to deal with the regulations, right? But one of the most important loans you're ever going to take in your life, they give it to the stupidest and uninformed among us because the government insists they're uninformed.
All those loans are going to be forgiven.
They're never forgiven.
loans are going to be forgiven. We'll just kick that can down the road, too.
They love the problem.
What is going to happen, Sean? I mean, we're talking about, you know, in a number of years, the Reverend Wright, and of course I always say two wrongs don't make a Reverend Wright, but as he said many, many years ago, the chickens will come home to roost.
They won't.
What's
going to
happen in a number of years when all these loans come due and nobody can pay them?
They won't. And nothing will happen.
And you know what happens? You can't pay a student loan. You cannot then start a family. People are delaying starting families or not having them at all. It causes such societal wreckage, all in the name of getting a liberal arts education at Behemoth U.
Whether it's a person or a government, you could never borrow this kind of money if you intended on paying it back. So what you asked, what's going to happen?
Right.
Nothing. They're going to figure out a way to default and walk away because that's the mind of today's citizen. Well, they want to be a scumbag, and they're going to do it come hell or high water. They just have to figure out how to justify
it. Well, since the big banks got to walk away a number of years ago, why shouldn't the students of America get to walk away as well?
And it's the faux outrage. You just have to have the right villain. And we can forget about the fact it was the government that forced the big banks to give the bad loans.
Hear about the big stories of the day, then talk about them right here on Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Speaking of walking away,
this is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Please go away. Let me sleep for the love of God.
On AM 560. The Answer.
Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy. Our top story, consent condom requires four hands to open. Making powerful statement about consent. All I know is it takes two hands to handle a whopper. But seriously, we are joined, Sean. We got to get serious.
Tough
right?
leading.
It's no longer the man show right now because there's
also
Elmhurst
Cigar House customer at one time.
Really?
Yes,
you
she
allow
is.
Women? You allow the distaff side?
Only
inside?
The good ones.
Hey, look, Augusta National, the Masters is going on right now, had a women's golf tournament on Saturday. Augusta National had a women's golf tournament.
Even the husbands didn't watch.
So Kristen McQuarrie, a.k.a. Statehouse Chick, that's her Twitter handle, Chicago Tribune writer, joins us right now. Good morning, Kristen. Thanks for coming on.
Hello, boys. How are you?
Hello, boys.
Hello, boys.
So, Kristen, the other day, Governor Pritzker trotted out his easel and his message board and wanted to show everybody that his progressive income tax for the state, 97% of the Illinois taxpayers will benefit from this. And, of course, it reminded me of when Michael Jordan said he was 99.9% sure that he was retired and he came back. So the higher the number, the less I'm sure of the number. What say you to this?
I mean, the biggest issue with futzing with the Constitution is that we will be allowing Springfield to mess with these numbers whenever they want. So, yes, the initial numbers that Pritzker put out, which, by the way, almost every nonpartisan economic group has said don't add up, most of Illinoisans will not see a tax increase. That doesn't mean they're going to see their taxes drop. They're just not going to see them go up, except for people making 250 grand or more. The bigger issue is, why in the world would voters give more authority to Springfield to spend and change these tax rates and tinker with them from now into perpetuity, given the financial mismanagement that Springfield has already shown that they're capable of? That's the biggest question.
I think it's because a lot of the people in Illinois are pretty much benefactors of the welfare state it's become. And there are so many things I want to ask you.
Or even beneficiaries.
Whatever.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I'm the benefactor. There are so many things I want to ask you, really. I don't know if I should go with the Kim Fox, if I should go with the DHS bigger budget, or if I should go with the fact, am I the only one who thinks Lori Lightfoot looks like Peter Lorre? I can't figure it out, but I'm really upset about the TIF agreement and the skullduggery that goes on in these agreements for developers.
That was a huge missed opportunity for Lori Lightfoot, the incoming mayor, the progressive, the person who's going to revive the South and West Sides. She could have slowed it down. She could have stopped it. That is a huge tax giveaway. The biggest TIF now development in Lincoln Yards. And remember, why do you think developers want TIFs so badly? There are other economic tools they could seek out. They want TIFs because it freezes their property taxes for 23 years. And whatever they owe on top of that, as their value of their property grows, they do have to pay, but that money gets invested into their own development. So they increase the value of their own development using what should have been tax dollars, and their property taxes are frozen.
So
there's no way that those should have been approved.
So she's still mayor-elect Lightfoot, right? So or is she the mayor?
The same.
Is she the mayor right now?
In Chicago,
Kristen,
it's all the same.
I'm sorry. I know Rahm Emanuel had his last city council meeting yesterday. But, I mean, right off the bat, she's got her own parking meter deal.
Before she runs itself. Don't worry about it.
Before she even says, I do. Yesterday, she was down in Springfield. And I read the Tribune story on it so that I didn't have to actually watch her down in Springfield. But it sounded like so much boilerplate that she was talking about. So here's the reformer that we brought in, or you did, or because I haven't lived in the city since 1958. But it sounds like the same old, same old. It's like Animal Farm. Once again, you know, the pigs join the farmers and nothing ever changes. Is this a harbinger of badness?
Well, I mean, being a conservative-leaning person, being a fiscal conservative in this city and state, she was never going to represent the sort of policy choices that you or I would want. So her going to Springfield, let her enjoy a little rock star status. She does, in fact, support a graduated income tax. She's counting on Springfield sending her some revenue through legalized recreational marijuana and such. So she should be in Springfield a lot, actually, because Rahm did not go down there except for one time to preach about pensions, and then he didn't do anything after that. I think the reason that Lori Lightfoot was popular and the reason she still gets to wear the reform credential for now is that she is coming in as a federal prosecutor. And I think once she is sworn in, I'm counting on her. She has said she will do some things to remove aldermanic privilege, to sort of just get rid of the nonsense of you have to kiss the ring of the alderman in order to get an awning above your business in the ward. So that part of her still remains to be seen.
And to that extent, she's good. And I know that, you know, your colleague John Cass, a friend of ours, is ecstatic over this because he's all about the corruption. And I understand that. I mean, Ed Burke gets reelected even though the feds have the goods on him because he wanted to play hardball. And that's just the Chicago way. So, you know, to that extent, it's good. But and of course, if she turns on, if she says she's going to look into what Kim Fox did. But if she winds up caving on that, then we know that, you know, it didn't matter who got elected. It may as well have been Preckwinkle then, right?
I think so. I mean, she has said by executive order, and I'm sure she'll be challenged a little bit, that she is going to try to remove aldermanic privilege. That would be a huge step forward for Chicago, because that is something that has just been expanded and expanded. I mean, that's why Lincoln Yards got as far as it got. Even though there's very few people who actually support the project, the aldermen supported it and pushed it and coddled it and changed it. And because he is in favor of it, that's why it got as far as it got.
But the fact that she just did what she shouldn't have done and accepted it, doesn't it just prove that she's hot air from a very short platform? That is really, you know, I don't think they're aware, Kristen, of what a national joke we are. We're, you know, like Jazz Shaw will write in his paper and his blog, you know, after all, it's Chicago. Don't you think the tolerance of the Illinoisan, the Chicagoan in particular, that reelects that drunken bum wannabe mobster like Ed Burke. And he says yesterday, well, it's always nice when you see a politician leave willingly, meaning the only way they only leave is when they're dragged out by the authorities. Isn't it just too far gone to ever correct?
I mean, I definitely feel that hopelessness a lot, because the tolerance of voters in Illinois is just indescribable. We're so numb to just terrible management of state government and city government. These are things that would never happen in other states. You would not have a Speaker of the House who also had a side gig doing property tax appeals work that has been shown to be harmful to minority communities and basically a corrupt system. We are numb to all of this. I hope that the fact that that Lori Lightfoot, she really came from behind in that race. She didn't have the money. She didn't have the machine. She didn't have the organization, and she won resoundingly everywhere. I do hope that that is a sense that we're a little bit more woke as a city than we were before Burke was arrested.
Well, it's nice. It actually is nice to have an African-American openly gay mayor. You know, we cover all the bases right there. So we've made up for a lot of years of Irish guys.
I want a masochist next.
Here's the thing. So I guess since we're inured to all this, it's just foolishness for us to discuss the fact that whatever Pritzker's doing, he's not going to raise the money that is needed to cover all the pension and health benefit costs of all the state workers. And the numbers don't really add up, do they?
There's no way to catch up with how far behind we are without taxing Illinoisans to a point where the only people left will be J.B. Pritzker and his wife. I mean, the numbers just don't add up. They will once again do what they've done in the past, like float a pension bond where they're basically paying off one credit card with another credit card, because these payments, they do have to make these payments. The problem is the unfunded liability keeps growing even when we are making the payments.
You know what's going to happen, Kristen? It's going to be they're all banking on Bernie Sanders becoming the president and the bailout. It's going to be the bailout of the blue states. You watch. And then there'll be the secession by the red states. I mean, it's just kicking the can down the road till you get the bailout, because they're always just playing with themselves, so to speak, on this.
Careful.
Right.
Careful.
Be careful.
Here, let me.
This is a family show.
I'm sorry.
Let me ask a question. Let me once again save the show. So last week, there was a state senator, his name is irrelevant, and he proposed a doubling of the gas tax. My head was so, I was so outraged that I actually didn't follow up. I knew it passed. Is it a law now? Do you know where that is, where they're doubling the gas tax?
Well, they are correct in that the federal government has not raised the sales tax on gasoline since like the mid to early 90s, but the state has, and then the city has, and lots of municipalities have their own separate fund, little add-on to the sales tax. So the reason we have among the highest gas prices when gas prices jump in the summer is not because of the price of oil. It's because of all of the taxes that we attach to every gallon of gas. So, I mean, that is a tax that, if you have to consider some tax to be popular among lawmakers, it sort of is, because it's at least user-based. But that sort of idea has been introduced over and over again, and it rarely goes anywhere. The worry is that they are talking about a huge capital bill again, even though we just had one in 2010 that was $31 billion. And, of course, we haven't paid off all the bills that we spent for infrastructure then. And they will try to attach a gas tax to all those little ribbon-cutting projects that lawmakers like.
Kristen, thanks so much for joining us. I want to apologize for some of my language. I was slouching towards Gomorrah there, and the spirit of Robert Bork will not be happy with me. But, you know, sometimes I get exercised over these things. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate
it. Thanks for having me.
Kristen McQuarrie, Twitter handle Statehouse Chick.
One of my favorite customers.
She writes for the Chicago Tribune. Bruce Wolf. And Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy on AM 560, The Answer.
Hear about the big stories of the day, then talk about them right here on Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
Dan and Amy coming to you you live from the Mirabel Distinct Luxury Residences. We're on our Passport to Paradise vacation in Nuevo Vallarta, Mexico. And one of the nice things I like about this complex, and really even to compare it to complexes that we've gone to before, the resorts we've gone to before,
yeah,
is very cigar friendly here. And
I really enjoyed it. It's way too cigar.
There's no such thing.
No, I just think it's kind of rude. All right, so we went golfing one day, and Garrett was there, and he was smoking the entire 5 hours.
So was I. And it
was
4 hours.
No, but you took breaks sometimes. You did take a break. And also, too, you don't sit in the cart and drive with the people. You go out and walk to get your ball.
Yeah, I like to walk.
So that's it wasn't constantly in my face. And I love Garrett from Arlington Heights Heating and Cooling. And when my air conditioner breaks down, I will be calling him.
Sure.
But he smokes a lot of cigar. I'm worried about his health. Isn't it bad for your lungs? I mean, I know you don't inhale, right?
How long did George Burns live?
102.
I rest my case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So not too cigar friendly. You can smoke
by the pool.
You smoke in the pool. And by the way, Miss Jacobson,
mm-hmm,
you elitist, this is everybody's air. It's not just your air.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So if Garrett and I want to take a long walk on the beach and smoke cigars and talk about our feelings and our plans for running away from leaving this all behind, then that's our business. And you just don't interrupt that.
Okay.
Just leave it alone.
All right. Yeah.
All right.
I always give him the stink eye, too, and he doesn't pick up on it.
No, he picks up on it. He doesn't care. That's the difference. Yeah. This is why Garrett and I get along so well.
Okay.
It's not just the cigars.
And
it's the attitude.
Is he supplying you with the cigars, or
no,
are you giving him cigars?
I have
we're both
cigar aficionados.
What's this underground cigar tunnel?
He has his stash of Perdomo. I've got my stash of The Leaf by Oscar. Uh-huh. And, I mean, we couldn't be happier here and together. Dan and Amy coming to you live in cigar-friendly Nuevo Vallarta at the Mirabel Distinct Luxury Residences. We're on our Passport to Paradise vacation.
It's news, opinion, insight. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560. The Answer.
Ding, 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 ding. Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson. And in just a moment, we're going to talk to Grover Norquist.
I can't wait.
Of the Americans for Tax Reform. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that Ted Nugent, local story. Ted Nugent was invited to play at the McHenry County Fair this year. But apparently there's some backlash against Ted. You know, for the Democrats of McHenry County, the Democratic Women's Club. One Julie Bilmack says, the issue for me is his history of acknowledging his pedophilia and his affinity for, you know, heavy weaponry. To that, I say, I'm offended by the Dems who are offended but don't mention Nugent's anti-Semitism.
Stop wasting the time with the sexually frustrated menopausal. Grover Norquist is on the line.
That said, Dan Proft and I once interviewed Ted Nugent, and he said that Jesse Jackson was out of his, quote, cotton-picking mind, end quote. Dan and I rolled our eyes up in our heads at that time. But, you know, the guy inspired Chet 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 Fever, the song with Cat Scratch Fever. So I'm ambivalent about Ted Nugent.
Let's visit mediocrity later.
Right now, Grover Norquist joins us now. Thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it. Top of the morning.
Absolutely.
Can't believe he didn't hang up. I can't believe you didn't hang up.
Grover Norquist is not going to hang up when he has a chance to deliver the message. And I have to ask you this, Grover. I mean, is the American public stupid? Because there was the story a few months ago, or, you know, as we turned over into the new year and people were starting to pay attention to the fact that they had to pay their income taxes. Oh, look, I'm not getting a refund. That's because less was withheld. People don't understand that. People can't do the math, right?
As a teaching moment, it's even better than that.
Okay.
The establishment press spent a year, actually 675 days, 2 years, talking about anything other than cutting taxes and the economic growth that flowed from that. That's the 675 days was the Mueller report, which did its job, which was to distract everybody from the successes of the Republican Congress and the Trump presidency, the tax cuts, the higher growth, the higher wages, the 6 million new jobs, all of these things. They didn't want to talk about anything else would do. Okay. And so when there was this report that for a week or two of 12 months, you know, that some of the average refund was lower than last year, okay? Completely meaningless statistic in anybody's life, because all it means is if you got a lower refund, it meant you didn't pay the government too much money, right? You didn't give them as large a tax, a interest-free loan as you did the previous year. That's a good thing. It's a good thing, not a bad thing. But they said it in a way that sounded like you weren't really getting a tax cut, which is not at all what it is. And even the people on national radio, national TV, are smart enough to know they're lying, that you know, equating tax refunds with tax cuts. Well, it turns out that when you went for several months, as you get closer to April 11th, the average refund is almost exactly the same this year as last. It's just that 90% of taxpayers have significantly lower taxes.
No,
what were they doing? Talking about something other than the taxes.
Right. Here's the thing. You know, the people are such infants in this country. The infantilization of America, and I know this is, you know, in Sean's bailiwick, they want the government to hold their money for them because they're afraid they'll spend it. They want the government to take away their guns because they're afraid they'll use it on themselves. I mean, that's the whole thing. And that, I mean,
it's the mindset of a slave, yes. And Grover deals with it all the time. And my question, Grover, I followed your career for a long time. What kind of shower do you have? What kind of flow on the shower do you have to get clean enough after dealing with the kind of scoundrels you must deal with on a daily basis? And the overall idea that we are arguing about our idea of an acceptable atrocity against an American ideal of our income tax, where we've accepted this progressive tax, and we're just arguing the pressure rather than the principle. And I find it that it is almost a sense of hopelessness. And I wonder if you ever get that way, knowing that we are using this as a weapon, as a political baton against people who are not in power. I find it just disheartening. And I'm wondering, are we ever going to get to the only thing that's constitutional, a flat tax? Are we ever going to get to it?
I think so. Prior to emigrating to the United States, I used to live in Massachusetts. And there, very deep blue Massachusetts, we have a flat tax, a single rate tax. Five times the voters of Massachusetts have cast a ballot, would you like to go to a graduated or progressive income tax? Five times George McGovern, Ted Kennedy, Massachusetts voted no. Illinois has a single rate tax. I know the left keeps trying to get rid of it, but Colorado has a single rate tax. Nine states have a single rate tax of zero, which is one of the better numbers to have is flat rate tax. Flat rate taxes help keep taxes low, because when politicians want to steal people's money, they have to look at everybody in the eye and say, everybody, I want everybody's attention. I've got this really good idea and I want your money. And people say, you know what, it better be really good, because we're all listening. What Obama did and what Bill Clinton did was they said, I'm only going to loot 1% or 2%. So some of you may want to step out of the room. It's going to get noisy and unpleasant, but it's not you. It's right. Them. So it's okay. And if you divide people up, once you've worked over the 1% to 2%, you come back for the gas tax and the energy tax and all those sorts of things where everybody else gets whacked. Politicians love a graduated income tax. You can divide people into different groups, mug them one at a time.
That's great. And it's a gateway to graduating the tax for the middle class as well, because first you get the rich people who will move out because they are able to, or they'll find a way around it. And, of course, you will lose all the stimulation of a business in a state. It doesn't work. It's going on in Illinois right now. Pritzker just came out with it the other day, saying that 97% of the taxpayers will see a benefit on this. Of course, he's got nothing in there about paying for the pensions. You know, that's the elephant in the room, as well as Pritzker. But the
Year one. You may have 98% not affected. Years two, three, and four, every other state that has graduated income tax, like California, the reason you have high tax rates on the rich is so you can go to the middle class and say, see, that guy's paying 10. You don't mind 5. And they go, 5? I used to pay 2. You know, the difference between the United States and Sweden, Norway, Finland is not how they tax rich people. They tax rich people a little higher than we do. But their tax on middle and on the absolute middle income is about 10 to 20% more than in the United States. And they use tax the rich as the battle cry. You know how somebody jostles you or at the time when they put their hand in your pocket to steal your wallet, they're trying to distract you. Okay? They say,
Bruce calls
prom. Rich people, we're going to tax them. And their hand goes right into your bank account, right into your wallet. And then they turn around, and when you get mad at them, they say, you shouldn't complain. We only cut one of your fingers off. That guy would cut three fingers off. You should be happy.
Well, so in other words, what you're saying is that Governor Pritzker, even though he looks like, you know, a shambling guy, he's actually the Artful Dodger. And he's going to bamboozle everyone. You're telling me that you came from the People's Republic of Massachusetts, and even they, even they won't go to a progressive income tax, but Illinois is going to lead the way to the end of the universe for us. It's going to ultimately result in a bailout, isn't it? For this, that's what we're waiting for here in Illinois, is for Bernie Sanders to become the president.
I got news for you in Illinois. The rest of the country will not bail you out. The rest of the country will not bail you out because a number of states, Utah, for instance, moved all of their pensions from defined benefit to defined contribution, meaning like a 401k or an IRA. So 25 years from now, they'll have no unfunded liabilities at all. Okay, they're much better off. Enough states are fixing their pensions enough. And, you know, it's not easy. You got to make some changes. People were lied to about what they were going to get. You got to come up with honest answers and numbers and how you're going to make it work. Nobody is going to raise taxes on their state to bail out Illinois when Rhode Island, for crying out loud, Rhode Island did a great deal to fix their pension. New Jersey took $30 billion out of their pension deficit and debt. And we look over, and Illinois is not even breaking a sweat thinking about someday doing something about their pension system. And so when they go, can you guys give us like a gajillion dollars because we forgot? And the answer is no.
So by my math
– just
oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
By my
no. Just if a politician tells you there's a bailout coming – there isn't, and they know it.
They're not saying it. They're not saying it, but they're going to look to it. They're going to look to Bernie Sanders. But go ahead, Sean.
In my math, I've got you doing this for 35 years. Am I right?
That's about right, yeah.
Yeah, so I've got you doing this for 35 years. Are you astonished at the appetite in those 35 years or the willingness for Americans? Either they don't rationalize that debt is tax and that policies are tax, or are you just astonished by their willingness to accept it? I remember being a kid, and there was all the outrage among citizens when there would be debt accumulation. And in this current America, I'm upset with the complacency of citizens. Even the Republicans, as long as there's a Republican president, they don't say anything anymore. And what is your opinion on that? And how does that translate into tax? Do they just have to keep hiding it? Or how can they – is that the plan? Just forget Illinois bailout. Who's going to bail out America?
Look – we made some real progress with Trump's presidency, the Republican House and Senate, on tax cuts. We were planning on doing entitlement reform like we did welfare reform, which Bill Clinton signed after he vetoed it twice, for Medicaid and the various welfare programs where you get money for being poor, not because you paid into it like Social Security or Medicare. We can solve a great deal of the unfunded liabilities problems. State by state, people have to move their pensions from defined benefit to defined contribution to a 401k IRA where you actually save ahead. You know, the U.S. Army and Navy and Air Force is moving to a defined contribution plan. They just started this now. So it used to be only 16% of people who wore a uniform in this country ever saw a pension, because if you weren't there for like 20 years, you didn't get much or anything. And if you know, everybody in the Marines is there for less than eight, except, you know, a handful of officers. So people had cycled through, and while they were contributing to the country, nothing was being saved for them in terms of a pension like 401k. Now they can do this. They can have a 401k. So we are getting people in the government sector 401ks, individual retirement accounts, so that they can move from job to job and still keep their retirement with them. You know, the great thing about a 401k or an IRA is you hold on to your money. You decide where to invest it. You hold on to it. The government doesn't say, you know, when you get to be 55, 60, we're going to have money for you, and then you trust them. And then when you get there, the guys in Detroit go, and all my money? You say, oh, we forgot.
Sorry, Grover, you're going to get us dragging. You know, we're going to be kicking and screaming. There's no way we're going to have you take care of us. Grover, thanks so much for joining us. Always enlightening. Very nice talking to you. Grover Norquist, Americans for Tax Reform.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson, in for Dan and Amy on AM 560 The Answer.
Listen to podcasts of Dan and Amy from the AM 560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
Dan and Amy, we're coming to you live from Nuevo Vallarta, Mexico. We're on our Passport to Paradise Apple-sponsored vacation excursion extravaganza. We're at the Miraval Distinct Luxury Residences here. That is cigar-friendly, as we've discussed previously. And we're recording this segment for posterity in the event that one of us or both of us does not survive the station planned excursion this week.
Yeah, I want to go on record as saying I think it's a bad idea. I've told Jeff Reisman I think it's a bad idea.
Uh-huh.
The ATVs, we're taking a bunch of 70-plus-year-olds on ATVs through the jungle, up a mountain. And then we're going to go, no, I'm not done. Then we're going to go tequila tasting. And then we're going to go swimming in a river. And then we're going to drive the ATVs back home. What's the over-under on injury?
Well, I mean, I will grant you they may have the order a little bit mixed up, the drinking before the ATVing.
Yeah.
Have you ever done ATVing? Or you're always underwater?
No, I'm an ATVer, but I'm not a big fan of ATVs.
Where have you gone ATVing?
Lakeview doesn't count. Aurora.
Iowa.
Yeah.
Iowa.
Cornfield. Polo, Illinois, my friend's farm, the Messer farm. Oh, I've been ATV.
Right. Anything with...
That's rough out there.
Anything with altitude.
No, yeah, there's some berms in the road, but... No, with altitude.
I'm not speed bumps, but berms. I mean, like a hill.
No, yeah, Rocky Point. I had to go up a mountain basin. It was death-defying. And if you make the wrong turn, you're going to roll, baby. You're going to roll down that hill because the hill don't care.
The hill doesn't care.
The hill
That's
doesn't
true,
care.
Because it's inanimate.
And I'm not having a partner on my back, and I'm not driving with anyone. I got to drive myself.
Uh-huh. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, have you been ATV?
I have in Hawaii.
And?
A few times in my mountainous areas. And, you know, it's not like you're doing this like Call of the Wild style, where you're just out on your own. The trails, you have to almost purposely drive over a ravine in order to drive over into a ravine.
Well, I was talking to our program manager, Marcus Brown.
Yeah.
And
you're checking up on your life insurance?
Exactly. But he said something that's so true. You're going to be in the front of the pack, and you're going to take off because you've got a heavy foot there, Mr. Prof. You're going to you're going to put the pedal to the metal.
Right. And then you're all going to go over the side like lemmings right behind me. If Dan's going, then that's where we must go.
Oh, we're going to go this way.
Right.
Oh!
Yeah. No. Yeah. No, it's going to be fun. That's actually fun. And it's fun. I don't know. This is very dry here. But if you've ever done it like where at the end of the trail, they have like a water. Like you go in and you like splash your water, which is why they partly... Because the exhaust and the dust, they where you make the bandana and the mask.
Yeah, we have to wear a bandana tomorrow.
But it's cool to get, like, the full, like, mud bath. That's kind of fun.
Oh, okay.
That would be fun. It would be great. I mean, since I take Tiege Hanley, I don't need a mud bath.
Oh, that's right.
But, I mean, use Tiege Hanley. But, you know, for you, that might be a nice, you know, emollient for the skin.
Well, I'm going to wear jeans and gym shoes, and we'll be just fine.
And
right?
You're going to have a tequila shooter there.
Right, exactly.
All right, so we'll find out.
So what's the over-under? How many people are going to get injured?
No one is going to be injured.
Okay.
Stop thinking negatively.
Okay.
Everybody here is perfectly ambulatory and good health and good spirits. Mm-hmm. They're intelligent, accomplished people.
Okay.
They'll use their noggins. It's going to be fine. And if it isn't, then we've recorded this segment to memorialize one or more of us. Dan and Amy coming to you live from Miraval Distinct Luxury Residences in Nuevo Vallarta, Mexico, on our Passport to Paradise vacation.
Before you see it on TV, share it on Facebook, or read about it in the paper, hear it here first. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. If you're looking for the latest news, insight into what it means, and the sharpest opinion, there's only one station in Chicago where you can turn, and it's this one. We're AM 560. The Answer.
Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy. You're telling me a story off the air, and it sounds apocryphal to me. I don't think it's true.
A friend of a friend. Yeah, it's very true.
A friend of a friend is playing golf with Michael Jordan?
Yeah, this early on in Michael Jordan. You know, Michael Jordan had just retired. He's playing golf. They're at Medina, you know.
Okay.
And they start talking, and Michael Jordan asks him what he does. And he, you know, goes on to tell him, he had a trucking thing and all this stuff. And afterwards, you know, he finishes, and he looks at Michael Jordan and goes, what do you do?
You know what? It's actually believable because golfers are so into their games. You know, when I would come home from golf, my wife would say, so what did you guys talk about?
I'll tell you what
No, we don't talk about our lives. We're playing there to play golf. And that's our Masters update right now.
Yeah. Okay. Could tell Michael Jordan what he doesn't do. He doesn't sink a punt when there's money on the line. Worst golfer around.
Well, he was also...
Loves to gamble.
Loves to gamble. And he, you know, and if he loses... He's knocking on your door the next morning and wants to get his money back, if he's even paid his money.
Yeah, that's referred to in my neighborhood as a pigeon.
Slim Buhler took advantage of Michael Jordan. That's a name for the past. Quinn, our producer, is coming up with the tweet of the day. So today's tweet comes from Whitney McIntosh. I have to set this up for you. Did you know Lori Loughlin, the fetching actress who tried to get her kids into USC? And what a great scam it was. She thought the DA was bluffing, so she rejected their first plea offer and now faces additional charges. So the tweet is, she thought the DA had a pair of fives, but they really had a full house. Yeah. All right. Actually,
you want to talk about selective prosecution. That's it. I'm sorry. That's outrageous.
You know, yeah, what crime was committed? So I thought I had the tweet of the night last night. You know, the Cubs were playing. It was very cold outside.
No.
So all the players were wearing these masks. And the Pirates have a player named Melky Cabrera, formerly played for the White Sox. So I tweeted, pretty sure Melky Cabrera is one of the guys who attacked Jussie Smollett. So I don't get the rim shot for that.
No, that whole thing. There you go. I love the fact that you went from wrongful prosecution to no prosecution. Are you in on the scam? Then you walk.
All right. Speaking of prosecutions, the top story this morning, Julian Assange was no longer given asylum by the Ecuadorians in London. So they dragged him out of the embassy, and he is under arrest and is going to be extradited, I'm sure, to the United States to face trial. So, and, of course, everybody with common sense knows that Julian Assange hurt the United States terribly. Can I at least get the point out before you rebut it? I mean, we're compromising very sensitive information, and
I would demand to be put in a cell with the full house chick if I were Julian Assange.
So
there you go.
That wouldn't be a bad deal.
3 years with her.
So what he did was terrible with Snowden and Manning. But of course, Sean has a different view of things.
I absolutely and unequivocally do.
How so?
I think you live in an America where we are finding out where it is breaking news that the upper echelon of arguably one of the strongest bureaucracies in the world, the FBI, had a bunch of political sycophant apparatchiks at working against who they perceive to be a threat to their agenda, Donald Trump.
Can I buttress your point just having William Barr say it for you? He's the Attorney General of the United States.
I want to get it on.
Well, they don't know what the people don't know what you're talking about.
They never will with you here.
No, but you mentioned upper echelon, and that's the phrase that pays. Those are the secret words.
You're not suggesting, though, that spying occurred.
I think spying did occur. Yes, I think spying did occur. But the question is whether it was predicated. I think there was probably a failure among a group of leaders there at the upper echelon.
Yes, and thank you, Doc Severinsen and the Senate Orchestra. I don't think you needed the music. He's accusing the government of the United States, the upper echelon, of nefarious activities.
Now, let's say your life were different and you could do a push-up and join the FBI out of law school. And you being the good conscience, conservative, principled attorney you long to be.
Yes.
You saw this as you worked in the FBI and you toiled away with all of the intention of the Herbert Hoover not knowing he wore his mom's shoes. And you,
J. Edgar, but J. you're
Edgar,
on a roll.
And you knew that something was wrong and you needed a venue to release the information you had.
A whistleblower.
The documentation.
There are means to whistleblow.
Julian Assange gives you that platform.
You don't take it upon yourself to disclose
classified information.
So you need the authority of the corrupt to do it in your world.
If we took what you say to its logical conclusion, we would have told the Nazis that we were going to invade Normandy June 6, 1944.
That's its hyper conclusion. I'm taking it to the appointment that bureaucracies within our government do not have the authority to redact information to the citizen. And
yes,
in fact,
they don't.
And in fact,
this is a stupid
there
argument.
There must be a platform for whistleblowers within the bureaucracy to give us the information to prove that these bureaucrats are nothing more than apparatchiks.
There are whistleblower statutes, and that's the proper means.
Yeah, okay.
There's no question. But
so Julian Assange is giving you a proper means
without the
finger of the government being pressed upon it.
No, and he should go to jail for the rest of his life.
Oh, there, you're a good slave.
I'm not. I mean, you're Sean. I love you. You know, you're a friend. I love even the third-hand cigar smoke that you bring.
I got
the,
you, baby. You're not going to offend me. Let it go.
Into your shirt. But that is completely nonsensical. It's absurd.
I don't want the New York Post, the Washington Post, the various organizations that we know are interwoven with politicians to be the only source of information I have. I don't like the idea that my only alternative to a very corrupt, infiltrated, social agenda-driven media is another one. I want something that has just give me the info put forward by the people who have it.
I mean,
I don't need your spin on it.
You're basically saying that the government should be dismantled. There shouldn't be any government. There should be no diplomacy.
I'm saying there should be no government above me.
Sensitive. No government above
me. No government.
You should have direct relations with Putin. You should be the one negotiating with him. Every individual American should own a Polaris nuclear submarine in his backyard.
He should have to be aware that he has to corrupt more than a few Democrats and a few Republicans to get his agenda forward. Yes. Okay. He should have to be afraid of the American public and the information they have.
I'm going
to
ask Your Honor to use one of my peremptory challenges and get Mr. Thompson off the jury for Julian Assange right now.
I'm in, baby. I'm in. He walks if I'm on.
Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy on AM 560 The Answer.
There's only one radio show in Chicago talking about today's biggest stories and telling you what they really mean. That show is this one, Chicago's.
Bruce Wolf and Sean Thompson in for Dan and Amy. So yesterday, Attorney General William Barr said that there was spying done by the FBI and other agencies. And, of course, the Democratic media governmental complex went apoplectic over this. This is a montage from Tucker Carlson's show last night. Sean, how many talking heads from liberal cable news can you name that we're about to listen to? I want to know where you are.
Well, play some it, of these and people. Then I'll let you know.
Well, no, I want you to be clairvoyant and tell me who you think it's going to be.
Go right ahead.
Here we go.
There is no evidence to support any allegation that the FBI or any intelligence agency placed a spy in the Trump campaign.
His baseless claims of spies.
Don Lemon.
The so-called spy issue. First of all, there's absolutely no evidence there was a spy. So it's really a fake issue.
It's this phony baloney story about a spy in the campaign. To call them a conspiracy theory is to give them too much credit. Just fake facts.
All the other people who've seen the intelligence in your own party are saying there's just no there. I'm wondering what it will take for you, Congressman Zeldin, to say he's full of it.
No, there is a there, Gertrude Steinbreth. I don't know who that was. I heard Adam Schiff. I thought he was the first one. Am I right about that? Jeffrey Toobin, I heard him there. You mentioned Don Lemon right on the button. That was him. I don't know who the rest of them. Anybody else know who
these people were? Here's what I do know. I do know hours later, Julian Assange was arrested. And here's my argument that could sum up my whole 4 days here. Okay?
All right.
The citizen that willingly straps on the yoke of tyranny is far more culpable than the tyrant that forces it on.
I'm responsible for Julian Assange.
So the fact that you played CNN and MSNBC, you could have played another couple of stations in there. What we need is a guarantee of a non-ideological driven media.
Shut up. There
you go. Thank you, Mike Ditka. I know that. I know that voice. Okay, remember Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who actually pulled this off better than Hillary Clinton did when she decided to use the
hope it's her nightgown.
The dialect of the area that she was in. Remember when she said this?
This is what organizing looks like. This is what building power looks like. This is what changing the country looks like. It's when we choose to show up and occupy the room and talk about the things that matter most.
When does she get to the dialect?
You know,
do I have to listen to her for 2 minutes?
A funny anecdote, and I'm
they
proud
call this
to be
all
a bartender.
The dialect.
That's the dialect.
Wrong with that.
Oh, you know what? I just talked over it.
There's nothing wrong with working retail, folding clothes for other people to buy.
Yeah.
There is nothing wrong with preparing the food.
All right. So she started you going into the dialect, and I think I talked over. Sorry, AOC.
And that's what a wife looks like after the honeymoon.
She does this, and you know, some people said, "Oh, you can't do that. That's cultural appropriation." And
you're talking about the fact that she's being ethnic with her slang?
Right. Some people said that was verbal blackface. But now they've got a new term. It's called code switching. Somehow that sanitizes what she did. But I still don't think it's safe for me to do my L. Jolson impersonation.
As long as you're promoting socialism, you can do
it's
anything.
It's okay. Anything's
fine. Lodge.
Ted Danson. Went in blackface. What happened to him?
Well,
Ralph Northam is still the governor of the state of Virginia.
Can I say something? What is with the Ted Danson years where he's sleeping with Whoopi Goldberg with no eyebrows? Can you figure that out? What was he kicked in the head by a horse, for God's sakes? How much Viagra and Chevis is there in California that can get you in the mood for Whoopi Goldberg? Jeez. That's a desperado. You know. Even Blagojevich wouldn't do that. He's been locked up for a few years.
Speaking of Rod,
yeah,
I still think
Pookie,
Chuck Gowdy, best question I ever heard a Chicago news guy ever do. Totally inappropriate. Rod gets finished with his final news conference, and Chuck Gowdy goes up to Patty and says, "Will you stay with him?"
It's awesome. He should have asked her.
No, I'm horny for you, Chuck.
He should have asked her, will you go from the employment of Tony Resco to the most successful insurance agent in your dad's district? That's the question.
The most inappropriate question ever asked by a Chicago reporter. Will you stick with him?
Did his daughter that dresses like him, did she win? Is she the alderman? Dick Mell's daughter?
Oh, Dick Mell's daughter. Oh, right.
Patty's sister?
Exactly. I haven't lived in Chicago since 1958. Lori Lightfoot, the reformer.
Well, all of the women look like Charlie McCarthy. You should be.
She goes down to Springfield yesterday, the same boilerplate you could have gotten from Rahm Emanuel. She caved on Lincoln Yards, as you pointed out earlier.
Peter Lorre, from now on. She looks like Peter Lorre.
Yes, Tony Preckwinkle, get me the letters of transit. I want
to
get out of here.
We're never going to make it.
Peter Lorre,
I love it.
Is the new mayor elected. Wait, is she taller than Rahm?
No, does it matter at that point? At that point, you're just all representatives of the Lollipop Guild.
Is it like
when you're looking up to me, you got a problem.
When is the last time we had a tall mayor of the city of Chicago? I know Mayor Daley was about 5'3". Jane Byrne couldn't have been much more either.
Well, Lori's wife is Paul Vallis, so there.
You plagiarized that line from me.
Sure.
I don't want to take credit for it.
I made it better.
I'd like to be your writer. Sean, it was such a pleasure being with you these 4 days. I'm so glad we had this time together.
If my plane's delayed, I'm going to be mad with all
the
wind.
No, so fun. So what, same time next year?
Same time,
That's all they'll ever allow us here when Dan and Amy are on vacation.
Well, your Jared all wears off after 5 days. They know they can't commit to more time with you.
It was a blast being with you. And I'll be in the cigar shop one of these days,
I
right?
I had fun, yeah. I'll
Can you
Lou.
Have it sometime when Dan is there, too? Because I haven't talked to the guy in a few years.
I don't know. You know, Dan, he does this thing when he's at the cigar house and people come in he don't like. He picks up his computer, puts it in a knapsack, and just walks out the back door. Doesn't say anything to anybody.
Hear about the big stories of the day. Then talk about them right here on Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.